Hi, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Southern Fried Podcast, a production of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. Very happy to have today the Attorney General of the State of Arkansas, Tim Griffin. You never know what's going to happen over 30 minutes. We might get into Attorney General type stuff, but
probably not.
Yeah, really not a political show. Tim and I share a long-term interest in not only Arkansas and Arkansas culture, but Arkansas history, downtown redevelopment, historic preservation, and all of our interests have suddenly come together in one project a block away from where we're recording this. So I wanted to devote a whole show to what was the Boyle Building, your plans for it. So first of all, thank you for taking on this project, and thank you for joining us on the Southern Fried Podcast.
Well, thanks for having me. You know, this is something that you really don't even have to ask any questions, although I know you're going to. I have so much to say about this, and I think this is something for the whole state.
Mm-hmm.
As goes the capital city, so goes the state. You can be doing whatever you want in your part of the state, but if the reputation of the capital city is not what it should be, it will impact everybody in the state. We all have an interest in the state capital, the capital city, thriving. And so this is part of that, but it's also, it was just a good decision as the Attorney General, right? We're going to save taxpayer dollars because we're going to quit renting, which mm-hmm. we've been doing for decades, which no one would do with a permanent office. You wouldn't rent your house, for example, for 35 years. And so we're going to own it down the road, and that's going to be a huge savings. And we're saving a building that is iconic. It was designed by George Richard Mann, who designed the state capitol, who designed the Arkansas Gazette building, who designed the Mann building. And so I think this building would have been destroyed. So we're just so excited, and it's so much better for our workers. It's open and a lot of light. It's a more productive environment. And so can't say enough. Thank you for having me.
Oh, thank you for being on. Let's go back to that big picture for a second, and then we'll dive down into the building itself. But big picture, and you hit on it. You know, I think a state only achieves its potential, again, like you said, if its capital city and its largest city are doing well. And our capital city and largest city both are the same in Arkansas. And not to put anybody else down, but you only have to look next door to the really sad decline of Jackson, Mississippi.
Yeah.
In recent decades, which has just been in a spiral and continues mm-hmm. to lose population. Now you've got their legislature debating should state government take over a large part of the area around mm-hmm. the capital and all. We don't want that in Arkansas, and I can argue that probably the most important intersection in the state of Arkansas is the intersection of Capitol and Main.
Yeah, look, I don't think there's any question. And if you think about it, we have so many people come through Little Rock because it's at the center of the state. It's at the intersection of 30 and 40. And it's the center, it's the media capital for the state. It's the center of government. It's the center of finance, the center of healthcare, and so many other things. But just think about it from a practical standpoint. You know, a lot of people travel around. They go to Nashville. They go to different places to spend time, spend money. People come through here. You never have anyone come back from a trip and say, you know, we were just really wowed by what they've done with their strip malls.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Or we just really enjoyed spending all of our time out in the suburbs. That's just not what people say, right?
Exactly.
They go to San Antonio, and what do they talk about? The core,
mm-hmm.
the Riverwalk. They talk about the Alamo. They talk about the downtown area. And there are so many other cities. People go to Nashville. They go to Broadway. They go to the core of the city. No one says, you know, we were up in Hendersonville. Yeah. And they've just got all these new strip malls.
Yeah.
With the same
stores.
And
these chain restaurants.
With the same stores and chains that we have.
Yeah.
No one says that.
Yeah.
Not that there's not a role for that part of the economy to play, but that's not what attracts. That's not what defines your culture. That's not what reflects, hopefully that didn't define your culture. That's not what reflects your history.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what shapes, hopefully, your reputation. And so the core of your capital city is critically important, and the capital city at large. All parts of the state are important, but in terms of defining what our reputation is, capital city plays an outside role.
Yeah.
And we ignore it at our peril. And I would also say that I'm a true conservative. I believe in conservation.
Exactly. Exactly.
Why would you
conservation build, and preservation.
Why would you build a bunch of new buildings when we have gorgeous pieces of art right here that are dying for someone to invest in them, use them? And I'll just
why would you have to extend your infrastructure even further west in Little Rock's case?
Or anywhere.
When the infrastructure's already in place downtown?
I'm just going to say this, and I've said this at the expense of offending some architects and others, but if you look at the downtown skyline of Little Rock, look at the Boyle, the now Brooks, Bob Brooks building.
Mm-hmm.
It shines like a beacon of beauty. The other buildings that at some point when they were built in the 80s and 70s or whatever, mm-hmm. someone thought they were attractive.
Mm-hmm.
It's clear looking back decades later that in many cases people were wrong.
Yeah.
They're not attractive.
Yeah.
Classical architecture is timeless. Mm-hmm. The reason that Brooks building, built in 1909, is seen, is viewed as so beautiful today, is because it is, and it is designed based on classical architecture principles. A lot of these other, I would say, experimental, trendy architectural styles, if you look down Capitol, in my view, they're not attractive.
Mm-hmm.
They certainly don't look anywhere near. They don't bring the glory of the Brooks building and some other buildings that we have down here.
Yeah. Thankfully, and there are other buildings, like you said, begging to be redone. But thankfully, right past your building on Capitol, we did have a renovation of two great old buildings into the AC Marriott, which is upscale hotel.
Yeah.
Unfortunately for them, they opened that facility right when the pandemic started. But thankfully, they hung in there.
They're sticking with it.
So that's another great example right there on Capitol Avenue.
Hey, I was talking to Sam Alley yesterday about it.
You're going to help their business a lot.
I want him to tour through our building. We all have a shared interest in everybody doing well.
Mm-hmm.
Every county,
absolutely.
Every city, I told him I think there are 200 or so new employees that work for the Veterans Administration are going to be across the street.
Absolutely.
There.
In the former Worthen building, as those old timers still call it.
There's a lot of good
200
stuff going
West
on.
Now. Yep.
But just to emphasize, this move is good for our state's bottom line. We're going to save money. It is extraordinary for our employees.
Everyone loves a good place to eat, and few things are more discouraging than spending good money on a bad meal. I'm Eric Harrison, and I write for the Style section at the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. Knowing where to go, what to try, and how much you'll shell out go a long way toward making sure readers find the experience they are looking for rather than paying for big disappointment. Help us create a marketplace where consumers can rely on reviews and make informed choices by subscribing at arkansasonline.com/ADGnow.
I've had them already texting me. So we're only moving in a floor at a time. And it is, you know, I've been real interested in some of our people. Many of our people have been over to the building, but they're just getting moved in.
Mm-hmm.
One of them wrote me this. I got to have a look inside the Brooks building today. It is absolutely fantastic. I cannot say enough about it. So excited about being in our new space. I have had numerous messages from our almost 200 employees. So it's going to be more productive. And we have the beauty of the classical architecture and the historic components, the raw red brick walls, et cetera. But with modern glass, open, communicative, collaborative inside in terms of the infrastructure, the office equipment and what have you. And so, you know, it's axiomatic that your physical space influences behavior, which mm-hmm. means that it influences your culture. I abhor drama, makes everybody's life harder, makes management harder. I abhor toxicity. I fire it. If you want to be that way, go work somewhere else. You're not yep. working for me.
Yep.
We have a collaborative team approach. And the building that we're moving into will further that. The physical structure will further it. It's the reason a lot of press offices are more open because mm-hmm. you want people communicating and
exactly.
sharing. And so we have a lot of light that's natural coming in from particularly the north side of the building. It's a really skinny building. Excuse me. It's tall, but it's skinny. So we have a lot of offices that have windows as a result. It's the slice, the end slice of that block. If you think of it like a piece of cheese or bread, it's the end slice. And so there's a lot of light. And we have purposefully used a lot of open space and glass to ensure that people are sharing information, communicating, collaborating. And so there's all these different components to it. And that's why I say it's a win-win-win-win. It's a win on the fiscal mm-hmm. side for the taxpayer. It's a win on preservation. It's a win on economic development. It's a win for our workers and the culture that we're trying to create. And I'm so excited, if you can't tell.
Yeah. Before we go any further, because I never like to take for granted that our listeners know stuff. As you know, Bob Brooks was also a friend of mine for many years. But for those listening to our podcast who didn't know Bob, tell us a little bit about why you made the decision to name this building for
sure.
him.
Sure. So, first of all, I was going to name the building after Staff Sergeant Denver Bull Randleman, who was in one of the Band of Brothers, Easy Company, 101st Airborne Division, landed at Normandy. And we're still working on an educational plaza across the street that'll be funded completely with private funds. And so we're not giving up on Bull Randleman and his heroic service. But Bob used to be the head of the Ethics Commission here in the state. He grew up in Fort Smith, went to the University of Arkansas, went to a law school in Tulsa, was counsel to Asa Hutchinson mm-hmm. when Asa was chair of the party. And he eventually made his way to Washington, was Jay Dickey's chief of staff when I met him in 1996. I found my old calendars 95, actually.
Wow.
I found my old calendars that show when I first met him. And he and I just hit it off. He was 100% Arkansas, but he was also so knowledgeable about legislation and Washington and Congress and politics. And he really had a lot of people say this, but he truly had a photographic memory. And he and I hit it off. We became friends. He eventually came back home when his brother was diagnosed with a brain tumor in the late 90s. So he left working for Jay Dickey, and Governor Huckabee made him head of the Ethics Commission. He served there. His brother passed, I think, in 2000, or maybe in 99, I think. And then in 2000, I hired him on the Bush campaign.
Right.
To come back to D.C. to the Republican National Committee.
Yeah.
He was there with me. We just became even closer friends, and eventually became chief of staff to Congressman McCreary of Louisiana, who was ranking member of the House Ways and Means Committee. And Bob spent a lot of time advocating for clients in D.C., but he always wanted to come home. And I knew with his combination of just a great guy, but brilliance, legal acumen, political skill, knowledge of the state, et cetera, truly a genius. I felt so inadequate intellectually around Bob. But I knew he would make a great chief deputy.
Exactly.
And so he came back. I made him chief deputy. He worked tirelessly. I had to tell him, look, if you don't start going home, I'm going to have to get you out of here. I'm going to have to tell you to go home, because he was just spending so much time. And he wasn't feeling well in February, and he died suddenly of a blood clot in February of 24. So he had been on the job a little over a year, and it was just a big blow to the office. The whole time that he was there, he was very much supportive and instrumental in identifying and helping shepherd us through the building process.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, one day I was parked at the corner of Capitol and Main, looking toward the Capitol, and I looked up. I'd always admired that building. And I
was going to ask you, what?
I had been watching.
Was there a light bulb moment, though?
Yeah,
was this
yeah.
it? When the
so
light
we,
bulb
we had been
up?
Talking about moving and renting.
Uh-huh.
We had been talking about moving and renting.
Renting somewhere,
it's
yeah.
somewhere else to have a more open area, mm-hmm. more modern area. And then at some point I said, you know, we can't rent. We ultimately have to own. And so we were working, do we build something new? Do we go somewhere else? And then one day, all those other plans had sort of fallen short. They weren't ideal. And one day I was literally at the stoplight. I looked up, and I was very familiar with the building. I didn't know what it was called, the Boyle Building. I knew that the Chi family had owned it, and I knew it was going to be a loft or a loft.
Yeah,
or
and
something.
A loft hotel, but
and
that fell through.
You know,
yeah.
I've spent a lot of time in Marriott's, so I'm very aware of that brand, and I was like, man, when's that going to happen? So I looked at it, and I said, you know, maybe we ought to get into that. So we started talking. I found out who had it under contract. It was Jimmy. I just called mm-hmm. Jimmy Moses. I said, what about this? But the first thought was, we're going to take the first few floors and go over into the M.M. Cone building.
Mm.
That was the plan.
Right.
And then we're
going to
rent
building.
A bunch
yeah.
of it.
Yeah.
But here's what happened. The plates, the floors in that industry, I guess they call them the plates. The floors, the plates in the M.M. Cone building do not align with the floors in the Brooks building.
Interesting.
There's a couple
so yeah.
There's a couple of floors where they're close. So it was going to be a major
yeah.
project. You're going to have ramps. Also, there aren't many window offices in the M.M. Cone
right.
building. It's an old department store, right? So we were looking at an atrium punched in with light. It's all these extra costs. So finally, I just said, look, forget M.M. Cone for our purposes. And I'm optimistic about its future. I think there are other government, as an aside, I think there are other government entities renting that should be owning. And I'm making that that pitch soon to some folks, but and have already made it to some. But it dawned on me, look, we're going to get rid of all those construction costs if we just move into the Boyle or the Brooks building, just the Brooks building. We may need the whole thing, but let's get the Brooks building. So we'll have room to grow, although it's going to be, we'll have a little bit of room to grow, but it's going to fit just right. So that's when I abandoned. And so I called Jimmy Moses and I said, Jimmy, what if we don't do all this stuff that we've been talking about to get the MM Cone building aligned and make us have us go horizontally? What if we just go vertically? And he said, man, you just immediately saved a ton of cash. Hmm.
Decisions made in Washington affect folks in Arkansas. I'm Alex Thomas, the Washington correspondent for the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. I'm keeping a close eye on what happens in the nation's capital and how decisions and decision makers impact our state. Take, for instance, the next farm bill. We're connecting you with the policymakers drafting this legislation, as well as the Arkansas farmers vital to this state's economy. I know how much these decisions matter to everyday Arkansans, which is why I'm here in Washington, making sure you stay informed. This kind of coverage is only possible through your support. So consider subscribing at arkansasonline.com/ADG now.
Because it's, except for the inside of the Brooks building, it's ready to move. You're not going to have to do anything structurally.
Right. Right.
You're not going to have to punch a hole so you have an atrium of light and all this stuff.
It's all there.
Yeah. And so that was probably May of 23, June of 23 is when all this noodling was going on. And that's when I said, that's where we need to be.
Yeah.
And then there were a lot of hurdles. We had to get, you know, the historic tax credits had to get funded, and I think everybody involved will tell you, if you don't have historic tax credits, this project doesn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't happen.
Exactly.
And also...
And luckily, and I told you I'd try to stay away from politics, but I'll hit here because we've talked about this in general interest. We were far behind our surrounding states. Luckily, we have made progress.
Senator Dismay was a critical part of that.
Yeah, we have made progress in recent years, and now we're going to have a proposed constitutional amendment on the ballot next year that could really spark a lot of downtown development all around Arkansas. I'm coming out to endorse that now.
Yeah, so
already.
I'm not an expert in all the economic development tools, but what I said early on about a year ago, I said, I've seen a lot of these proposals. I think it was a year ago. I've seen a lot of these proposals that are great, but then they die politically.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I'm not the expert on all these different tools, although I feel like I know a lot about them now. I said, but I'm going to start hosting meetings. We're going to get all the great minds on these things. Let's see what other states are doing. And if I see something, I will shepherd the meetings, the committees, let's get this going. And if I see something that people aren't going to, politically, people aren't going to be able to swallow, then I'm going to say it, because it doesn't do us any good to have great ideas that die. And so we got that proposal, and Senator Dismay led on that, and the bottom line is this: like 47 other states have tools at their disposal that we do not have.
We were in a very small minority.
I respect the idea that, hey, it'd be great if we lived in a world where no one used incentives and everybody was on level playing
field. Doesn't work that way.
But that's like saying we're going to get rid of our nuclear weapons because we don't like nuclear weapons, and we're going to unilaterally disarm. Well, we didn't unilaterally disarm because we were never armed.
Right.
We have remained unilaterally unarmed while 47, 48, whatever other states just get all the jobs.
Mm-hmm.
So this is going to be a big deal. We won't talk any more about that. But yeah, look, it's going to be a great proposal. It's going to, if we get this passed, it will be a game changer.
Oh, I agree. For the state. I'm talking all over the state.
No. This is not a Little Rock
city,
thing.
Big cities, right?
This is
what I'm saying.
Rural communities.
Small
have,
downtowns.
We are a top-down, central-controlled, Soviet-style system right now. If someone comes from out of state and wants to grow jobs here, they're told, we can't do anything locally. You need to go to Little Rock.
Mm-hmm.
That's the wrong way to do it. We need communities having some authority. Basically, these are Jack Kemp opportunity zones.
Yeah.
Jack Kemp, father of father of modern conservatism, HUD secretary under Ronald Reagan. Opportunity zones are what these are, created at the local level for abatement of taxes and to build incentives at the local level. One, not only can we then compete against Texas counties who don't send everybody to Austin, but we can compete against each other.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Now, back to the building.
Yeah.
My hope is, and I know you share this hope, and not only my hope, but my belief, is this major project is going to be a catalyst for other projects in downtown. When Mark Stodola was mayor of Little Rock, you know, he named this part of Main Street down here the Creative Quarter. And I'd tell Mark, I said, you know, you can't declare victory when your two tallest buildings are empty.
Yeah.
And that was Boyle and Donaghy. Now Boyle's taken care of. Hopefully somebody will take on Donaghy. But hopefully it's going to be a catalyst for more development, not only down Main Street, but also down Capitol. Because as you and I both know, the closer to the state capitol you get, the sadder it gets. Empty buildings,
yeah.
Surface parking lots with weeds growing out of them. It should be just the opposite.
Look,
the closer to your state capitol you get, the more beautiful it should be.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm all for creativity, and I think we're doing a lot of things creatively with the Brooks Building. But, you know, this is going to be much bigger than a creative corridor or arts district. I mean, this is, there's going to be something for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
This is not just for this group of people. There's going to be something for family. There's going to be something for foodies. There's going to be something for people who like architecture. All of the above. I've got some ideas on branding, and I'll be rolling some of that stuff out. You know, look, this is going to be a big catalyst. I've already seen it.
Yeah.
I've got people interested in the M.M. Cohn building, even in the government.
That's great.
I care about that?
That's great.
I've expressed why I care, but let me just talk money for a second. Why should permanent government agencies continue to pay rent for decades
instead of owning? Yeah.
When they can just go in the M.M. Cohn building, it's waiting to be had.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, look, I think, just say it, I think it was a mistake to move all those down to Riverdale.
Yeah. A huge mistake.
Yeah, let me talk about that for a second.
It gutted downtown Little Rock.
So government, particularly with historic tax credits, ought to be stepping forward, providing confidence and stability, preserving buildings like this in areas where maybe the market is not sure yet. A place like the one down on the River Market, that's highly marketable to the commercial market. Mm-hmm. It didn't need the government. I mean, private sector companies would move in there in a snap.
Exactly.
So
exactly.
That doesn't make any sense, right? So you want to put all those bodies in a place where we can save money, and yes, by owning, but in an area maybe where we need to save a building. Not all buildings are worth saving, but we have a bunch downtown.
We do have a bunch that are worth saving. Yeah,
and that's where government can step in, save taxpayer money, preserve a historic icon because we have an interest in culture and history, and leave that other one for the next private sector company that'll move right in.
Yeah.
In fact, they've already got a private, they've already got Lyon College.
Absolutely.
Is putting a dental school in there. Now, you know, there's a lot of that taken up still by government. I wish, big opportunity there.
Yeah. But like you said, you've already served as a catalyst. I pointed out as we taped this on my social media this morning, because there was a story in the Democrat Gazette about the library finishing up its project. Within just a couple of blocks of where we're sitting taping this right now, you got about $35 million, right, that you're spending on Boyle, $30 million for the library redo. Central Arkansas Water is going to stay downtown, thankfully, and do a multi-million redo of its building.
Smart.
Historic Christ Episcopal Church is about to spend a lot of money.
I listened to your last podcast.
Right across the street. The Tech Park has just expanded. That's in a two-block radius right here, Tim. That's more than $100 million of investment right now.
Yeah, well, the other thing is, look, I made a pledge to I've got a lot of views on a lot of political things. Policy things, we don't need to get into that. But safety is paramount, and I am not going to move my employees, even though it's just a block and a half away, really, two blocks. I'm not going to have people say, well, what about the parking garage? What about this? So we use contract security guards because they're so much cheaper than paying all off-duty this or that or whatever. And we're going to have patrols.
It's going to be great for our
armed
neighborhood.
Controls.
I'm speaking to the Democrat Gazette because, as you know, we have a lot of people working at night on the morning newspaper, and they tend to get harassed, frankly, by homeless people and others as they go to the parking lot.
I love everybody, and I love freedom, but in the Lord, I love them in the Lord. But you can't harass people.
There is no place for
you can't
aggressive panhandling.
Half-naked.
Yeah.
There was a guy,
there
saw a guy
no
half
place
naked,
for aggressive panhandling.
You know,
I'm with you.
You know, that turns people off. You want to send people back to where, to their communities with bad words to say, make them encounter folks that really need to, at a minimum, respect each other. Let me just read this to you. So I just got this from one of our employees. She says, quote, I got this 11/16, maybe. Okay, I got a little bit ago. Kim and I are touring the Brooks building. So these are two employees that have not seen it until a minute ago.
Right.
We want to cry of excitement. Mm. This place is amazing, end quote.
Wow, that's wonderful.
Do you want your employees feeling that? Yes. Are they more productive for the state when they feel that way? Yes. And let me tell you something else. I don't allow anybody to work from home.
Yeah. I love it.
So, because you cannot, that's fine for other people, but you cannot create esprit de corps. If people want to work from home, they can work for somebody else. They're not working in my office. And so, it is incumbent upon me, if I'm going to have people in the office,
to have a nice
to have a place where they can be productive and enjoy their work. People that don't watch the clock, that love their work, that love the environment, that are happy to be in a place without toxicity and drama. People that are in that environment are more productive, they're better for the taxpayer, they're better for everybody, and they help us recruit more great people because they talk about how great a place it is to work.
Absolutely. We're out of time, unfortunately. I am going to have you back soon because there are a lot of issues we need to talk about, but I wanted to focus on the new building, and thank you. Thank you for the investment that your office is making in downtown. I think it's going to lead to a lot of great things in this neighborhood in the years ahead.
Thank you. This is awesome, and I can't wait to walk through it with you if you get a chance.
All right. Tim Griffin, the Attorney General of the State of Arkansas, our guest. I'm Rex Nelson, Senior Editor of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. Thank you for joining us for another edition of the Southern Fried Podcast, a production of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette.